Today. We have a good crowd. We have visitors among us, and we thank you for coming. We encourage you to get your Bible and search the scriptures with us. Feel free to take whatever notes you might like that you might have this study for your future reference. Our appeal here is to the truth. We believe, as Paul taught in 1 Timothy 3:15, that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. And so if you hear something taught that you believe strikes a discord with the truth, we hope that you'll not leave without bringing it to attention. We might look into that, and if it be the case we have taught error, we'll make the proper correction. I call our attention this morning to the story of Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, recorded in Acts chapter 5. The setting finds saints who are needy, and every man distributing as he had need. We, in Acts chapter 4, introduced to the generosity of Barnabas, who, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. We pick up the story of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5:1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira's wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young man arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, "Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yea, for so much." Then Peter said unto her, "How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out." Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. That's Acts 5, 1 through 11. There are a number of important lessons that come from that reading. It shows how God feels about lying, doesn't it? It shows how God feels about those who play the part of a hypocrite, pretending to be or to do something they are not or have not done. There's an expression within this reading that I want to direct your attention to in this particular study. It's included in the question of Acts 5 and in verse 4 as Peter addressed Ananias concerning the part of the price of the land. He said, "Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power?" If you have your own Bible with you, you might like to highlight or underscore those words, which are the heading of our study, "in thine own power." Now, there are a lot of things that are not within our power. We have no control over, right? You might think of that serenity prayer. "God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." Maybe you've struggled with that, trying to change things that are really beyond your power. It's like being stuck in the mud and your wheels just spinning. It'll be exhausting. It'll be stressful. It'll be frustrating. And so we need to learn the difference between things that are within our power and things over which we have no control. And in this little study, I'd like to call our attention to some things that are in thine own power. The first thing that I call our attention to is the fact that your money is in thine own power. And I pick that up from this context in Acts chapter 5. The scene finds Ananias with his wife Sapphira selling a possession. Nothing wrong with having a possession. They kept back part of the price. Nothing wrong with keeping back part of it. But the problem is they lied about it. They claimed to have given all of it. And God did not like that. That's why Peter said, "Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land?" This text shows a difference between what is in my power and what is under the authority of the apostles. Notice when he sold the possession, that the price was in his own power, right? That is, he could do with the proceeds as he saw fit. But when that is laid at the apostles' feet, Acts 4:37, it's not within thine own power. There are a lot of people who need to learn that principle. There's a difference between what's in my pocket and what is contributed upon the first day of the week to the Lord's treasury of the local church. Because there are some who think that whatever an individual can do with money within his power, the church can do with money that's been collected upon the first day of the week. There's a difference. You see, money that's in your pocket is in your own power. And then as we come together upon the first day of the week, as Paul gave order to the church in the book of 1 Corinthians 16:2, and lay by in store, that is laid at the apostles' feet. That is beneath their authority. And so I read the New Testament to find out, as the apostles' doctrine, Acts 2:42, the use of those funds. And we find those used in the work of evangelism, just like the church at Philippi sent once and again to Paul, Philippians 4:15 through 16. We find those funds used in the work of relief, as the local church relieved its own needy. And when a church in another area in the realm of relief or benevolence had a need greater than their ability to provide for, other churches would send to their relief, like you find example of in Romans 15 and 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. But let me think with us about money that is in thine own power. It's in thine own power to do with that as you wish, right? Here's some things that are in thine own power to do with your money. It's in your power to lay by in store upon the first day of the week. In 1 Corinthians 16, as Paul gave order, he said, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you, he's addressing saints, those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, members of the church, 1 Corinthians 1:2. And so as a Christian, it's in thine own power to lay by in store, as God hath prospered you, upon the first day of the week. It is in thine own power to provide for your own. 1 Timothy 5 teaches that need in verse 8 when Paul penned, but if any provide not for his own, and specially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. In this chapter, he also talks about the widow indeed, who may be enrolled in the number, and how that in verse 16, if any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. And so it is within thine own power to relieve widows. It is in thine own power to do good. You know, the book of Hebrews talks about doing good and communicating in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, and in verse 16. For with such sacrifices God is well pleased. In the book of Galatians, chapter 6, and in verse 10, Paul is addressing the actions of an individual. He said, let us do good unto all, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. And when you read that chapter, notice who he's talking to. He is addressing the individual. He talks about a man. And so individually, it is within thine own power to do good unto all, in special emphasis upon those who are of the household of faith. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 18, Paul gave a little charge to those who are rich in this world. He said, charge them that are rich And among the charge, he said, that they do good and communicate. And the wise man in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs 3, in verse 27, emphasized this same concept when he said, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. And so it's in thine own power to do good. It's in thine own power, with reference to your money, to give to him that needeth. Writing the Ephesians, Paul said, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands a thing which is good, that he may have to do what? To give to him that needeth. It's in thine own power to do that. It's in thine own power as to the use that you make of your money. And what then is contributed upon the first day of the week is under the authority and power of Jesus Christ, as he has all power in heaven and in earth, Matthew 28 and in verse 18. A second thing that is in thine own power is time. Did you know that your time is in your own power? That is, you have control over your time. How do we use our time? You might look sometime at some studies that have been done as to how the average American uses his or her time. How much time do you spend sleeping? Several hours, maybe. How much time do you spend watching television? You know, the average American watches about 5 hours of television per day. That's a lot of time invested in television. How much time do we spend online? With social media. How much time do we spend listening to music? Somebody said, I don't have time. We all have the same amount. How many hours are in your day? 24? Maybe we ought to think a little bit about the value of time. To realize the value of just 1 month, ask a mother who gave birth to a premature baby. To realize the value of 1 week, ask an editor of a weekly newspaper. To realize the value of 1 hour, ask the Philippian jailer who heard the gospel and was baptized the same hour of the night. To realize the value of 1 minute, ask a person who missed his flight. To realize the value of 1 second, ask a person who just avoided an accident. To realize the value of 1 millisecond, watch the Olympics. Ask the person who won a silver medal in the Olympics. And hopefully we will learn to treasure every moment that we have. You may say, I only have just a minute. Well, here's a little poem by that title. I have only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it. But it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it, just a tiny little minute. But an eternity is in it. You know, really, it's up to me. It's in my own power as to what I do with my time. Was it Benjamin Franklin who said, do not squander time, for that is the stuff that life is made of? And there's a lot of time squandered. And there's not anywhere you can go and buy it. You can't make it. Somebody says, I'm making time. You can't make time. You tell me how you do that and make some for both of us. You can take time, but you can't make any. And no matter how much of it we have, it's all summed up in one word. It's short. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 89:47. Remember how short my time is. And remember when we look through those wisdom books, the expressions of the shortness of time? As the life of a flower, they were here for a short time. Remember? It wasn't just a few days ago, was it? When we were adoring those tulips and lilies. Where do they go? They're gone. And that's life. It's short. Like a shadow. There it is, and there, where'd it go? Like the swift ships. Like a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Few days. And so my time's short. It's very valuable. It's very precious. And I need to make the best use of it. It is in thine own power to redeem the time. That is, to buy up every opportunity. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. That is, they're fleeting. Time is filled with swift transition. Swiftly we're turning life's daily pages, we sing. Have you thought about the fact that it's within thine own power to use your time to read the Bible? We like to read, and there are lots of things that we could read. Making of many books, there is no end. And so I have to decide what is worthy of my time to read. And one problem we face in the church and in this country is people reading too many books about the Bible and not enough reading of the Bible. And that's why there's a lot of confusion. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We ought to be like those Bereans who search the Scriptures daily. They could say, I don't have time. I'm too busy. It was within their power to take time to search the Scriptures daily. And it's in mine too, isn't it? As well as yours. It is in thine own power to use your time to study. As 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study. That involves more than just reading. Study. Give diligence. Meditate. Ponder. Reflect upon what you've read. Ask who spoke, who's being spoken to. Why did the writer say that? What's the context of that verse? What are some other verses that teach the same concept that would be cross-references maybe, or parallel accounts? It is in thine own power to pray. Use your time praying. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? Remember the psalmist? In Psalm 55:17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray. He could have said, I don't have time, I'm too busy. It was within his own power to use his time to pray. It is in thine own power to use your time to teach. For when for the time you ought to be teachers. Hebrews 5:12. Paul said to Timothy, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. 2 Timothy 2:2. And sometimes we busy ourselves with this, that, and the other. We lose focus of what's important. The message of Ecclesiastes has been clouded and crowded out. And we think, I just don't have time to teach. It is in thine own power to use your time to teach others. It is in thine own power to use your time to visit. One thing, they'll separate a lot of people at the judgment. Sheep from goat, right from left. Visiting. Read Matthew 25 and see if that's not true. You visited me versus you visited me not. And when we neglect the brethren, we're neglecting the Lord. And to do for our brethren is to do for the Lord. And that's part of pure religion and being undefiled before God and the Father, according to James 1 and verse 26. Let's be like Paul and Barnabas, who said, let's go and visit our brethren and see how they do. Maybe we don't know because we think we don't have time to go see. It is in thine own power as to the use of your time. And it is in thine own power to use your time to practice hospitality. Does that take time? You better believe it. Use hospitality one to another. 1 Peter 4:9. Be given to hospitality. Romans 12:13. But I suggest to you that all of these things that we've talked about will be time well spent. A lot of times we think, I don't have time. No time for this, no time for that, but we take time to do what we really want to do. Right? 99% of people will find the time to do what they want to do 99% of the time. A little poem I want to share with you. It's called No Time for God. You've time to build houses and in them dwell, and time to do business, to buy and to sell, and none for repentance or deep earnest prayer. To seek your salvation, you've no time to spare. You've time for earth's pleasures, for frolic and fun, for her glittering treasures, how quickly you run, but care not to seek the fair mansion above, the favor of God or the gift of his love. You've time to take voyages over the sea and time to take in the world's jubilee, but soon your bright hopes will be lost in the gloom of the cold, dark river of death and the tomb. You've time to resort to the mountain and glen and time to gain knowledge from books and from men, yet no time to search for the wisdom of God. But what of your soul when you're under the sod? For time will not linger when helpless you lie. Staring death in the face, you will take time to die. Then what of the judgment? Pause. Think, I implore. For time will be lost on eternity's shore. As you think about this little expression, in thine own power, number three, your children are in thine own power. Children usually become what parents make of them. As one writer captured, I took a piece of plastic clay and gently fashioned it one day, and as my fingers pressed it steel, it bent and yielded to my will. I came again when days were past. The bit of clay was hard at last. The form I gave it, still it bore, and I could change it nevermore. I took a piece of living clay and gently formed it day by day and fashioned with my power and art a young child's soft and yielding heart. I came again when days were gone. It was a man I looked upon. He still that impress bore, and I could change it nevermore. And so our children in our own power is for a limited time. Really. You think about those impressionable years as clay that would harden and could change no more. It is in thine own power to recognize children as an heritage of the Lord. Psalm 127:3. It is in thine own power to teach your children. We have responsibility as parents to be teachers. We do that by setting the proper example. Actions are more powerful than words. And how can we expect them to be what we are not? But above and beyond that example setting, there's the need to use words. As Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7 says, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. What is it we talk about? Do the material, carnal, outweigh the spiritual? If so, where do we think they're going to put the emphasis? It is within thine own power to teach them diligently, to talk of them when you sit and when you walk and when you lie and when you rise. It is in thine own power to train them. Children need training. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. That would imply there's a way he should not go. And how's he going to know the difference? Is he going to know which way to go? Here he comes at a crossroad. Which way is he going to go? Has he been trained? And the proverb writers say, when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Training takes time, doesn't it? Think of those putting on the circus over there on South 3rd Street. Got elephants out there to perform. You think it took a little time to train those elephants? Training of all kinds takes a great amount of time. And how sad to have trained in other areas and have neglected the training of our young people. It is in thine own power to love them. A lot of young people feel unloved and suffer as a result of that. Do we tell them we love them? Show them? Titus 2:4 finds Paul talking to Titus and urging him to teach the older women, to teach the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. It's in thine power to love your children. It's in thine own power to discipline them when they need it. Withhold not correction from the child. The book of Proverbs teaches in Proverbs 23:13. And it's in thine own power to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. What are we doing with what is in our own power? Another thing that's in thine own power is your body. Your body is in your own power as to the use that you make of it. It's up to you as to what you do with it. Your body is God-given. As the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, Genesis 2:7. That's how you got here. As a result of God observing man's need of companionship, taking a rib from his side, making a woman, bringing her into the man, and giving them the capacity to produce offspring. You weren't here by accident or some kind of a big bang or a process of evolution. God made you. And so you need to think about that. The body that I have is God-given. It needs to be taken care of. It's in thine own power as to what you do with it. It's in thine own power to keep sin out of it. As Romans chapter 6 and verse 12 teaches, there are some things that we need to keep out of the body. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. What are we allowing to come into our body? It's in thine own power to glorify God in it. Somebody says, it's my body and I'll do with it as I please. Well, what about the fact that you're bought with a price? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6 and in verse 20. It's in thine own power to bring your body into subjection. Somebody said, I just couldn't control myself. That's what Paul said, wasn't it? I just could not control myself. I just couldn't keep it. No. In 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27, he said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That shows that our body and what we do with it is in our own power, doesn't it? And so it's in your own power as to what you do with your body. It's in your own power to magnify Christ in your body. Look at these words of Paul to the Philippians. In Philippians chapter 1 and in verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Is Christ magnified in your body? Think about a magnifying glass. Yes, print, maybe it's a little small. What's it do? It enlarges it. Makes it bigger. And when folks look at my life, they read us as an epistle. As Paul said, 2 Corinthians 3:2, known and read of all men. Is Christ magnified? Is he enlarged? And when he is, as Paul said, in nothing I shall be ashamed. Sometimes maybe somebody needs to say, shame on you, or shame on me, because of what we've been doing with our body. It's in your power as to what you do with it. Number five. Another thing that is within our own power are our abilities. Now, all of us have abilities. Don't short yourself in that area. Don't tell yourself, I don't have any ability. Because God's given all of us abilities. In Matthew chapter 25, we have the story of the talents. Beginning in verse 15, he said, the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one. Notice these words. To every man according to his several ability. And so the talents are not abilities. As the talents were given to every man according to his differing ability. That tells me every man had ability. You have ability. And these talents may very well represent opportunities to use those abilities. And ability plus opportunity equals responsibility. When I have the ability to do something and the opportunity to do it, I have the responsibility to do that. And unto one he gave five, to another two, to another one. Took his journey. He that received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. Likewise, he that received two gained other two. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. I believe this is a five-talent church. We've got a lot of five-talented people. And I'd like to encourage us to remember the words of Peter in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. When he said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. It is in thine own power to use your abilities to the glory of God. How are you using your abilities? You thought about that? You know, there are those who have tons and tons of ability and they just don't use it. Wasted years. Or they so use their abilities and expend their energy, they don't have any time left to use their abilities in service to the Lord. What's most important? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6 and verse 33. It's in thine own power as to the use you make of your abilities. And then finally, other things could be mentioned, but number 6, your soul is in your own power. That's our most valuable possession, in our own power. We have control over it. Right? There's two parts of us. This body, we've talked about that. But there's more than that. There's the soul. Made in the image of God, right? Man became a living soul. Genesis 1, 26, 27. Genesis 2, 7. Zechariah said, the Lord formeth the spirit of man within him. Zechariah 12, 1. Jesus in Matthew 10, sending out the disciples on the limited commission, said, fear not them which kill the body and are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And so the soul can be destroyed. The soul can be lost. Matthew 16, 26, which teaches soul value, teaches the soul can be lost. What is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? It's in your own power as to whether that happens or not. It can also be saved. James 1:21 says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. It's in thine own power as to whether your soul is lost or saved. And where you spend eternity, either in a place of comfort or a place of torment, is in thine own power. It's in thine own power to purify your soul. How do you do that? Same way that folks did in Bible days, in obeying the truth. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Sin stains the soul. And all have sinned. Romans 3:23. That means you sinned and I have sinned. There's a high price to be paid for it. For the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. And Jesus said, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. John 8:24. Peter commanded, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And the Lord said, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. Revelation 2:10. If you've not obeyed the gospel, it's in thine own power to believe it. It's in thine own power to repent of your sinfulness. It's in your own power to confess, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's within your power to be baptized today. All things are ready. We'll go to a place of water. Clothing is available. And you can be baptized. The Lord will add you to the church. You can join yourself with the disciples here to work and to worship as we strive to make it to heaven together. Maybe you've already done that, but you've become unfaithful. You've not been what you ought to be. You think about the things that are within your own power, and you've maybe not been making the kind of use of them that you need to be, and there's public correction that needs to be made. It's in thine own power to come through repentance, confession, and prayer to have those forgiven. And as we stand and sing the song, we would invite you to come. Jesus is tender.